Blog Talk Radio.
They tryna turn Trenton into baby Flint. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us, I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to City Hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people I bang, bang, bang.
My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a weight and a rape, bruh. Isn't our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected.
No, my ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain.
I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
All right. Welcome back to another edition of New Freedom Exchange, a cultural expression for social dignity and community empowerment. I'm your host, Brother Dean, with my co-host,
Sister Marsha. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I kind of rushed to get in here to get on, but alhamdulillah, I made it. Rushing from work, had to run to the store, so I have everything that I need for me and my children, but I made it in here.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Likewise, I was on the road as well. Got able to get in the studio just in time to hear another superwoman. I got a co-host of Superwoman, and we got another superwoman coming on tonight, Sister Asia Nasir.
Superwoman.
Uh-oh, it's the women's ladies' night tonight. So I'll introduce her. I'll read her bio, and then we could jump right into the discussion. Let me pull it up right here. But before that, check in. I know you had a beautiful program yesterday. Our community really enjoyed the Unified Tyleen, hosted by Masjid Muhammad Nork with the Council of Imams of New Jersey. And it was very informative, celebrating Juneteenth. Excellent.
Yes. That program was awesome. And you know what? I got a question today. I spoke to Imam Abdul Alim Razak from Masjid Al-Iman in Jersey City today, and he was asking me what I took away from that Tyleen yesterday. And I told him the biggest thing that I took away from that Tyleen had nothing to do with the topic, interestingly enough. It was more about the fact that we were able to come together in that platform and conduct the Tyleen with very few hiccups, and just be together, have it run on the proper time frame, all of that stuff. Like, I was super proud of that. I was happy to be able to talk about Juneteenth, but I was just proud of the technical pieces of it. And we had we had about 86 people on that Zoom, which is Alhamdulillah. And then you live streamed on Facebook, and I think the most I may have saw there was like 25 or 26. So it was Alhamdulillah yesterday. We got to repeat that on some, you know, for some different topics so that we can get our community moving in the right direction.
Exactly, exactly. Actually, when I looked at the numbers today, it actually reached over 2,000 people so far. So,
Alhamdulillah.
It definitely was very powerful, impactful, very informative. And I love Imam Wahidin Sharif's comments about it's not a date, it's a destiny. You know what I mean? That stuck out with me. Yeah. All right, all right. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce our dear sister tonight, Sister Asiya Nasir. She's the founder of Utopia Enterprise Business Solutions. Builds strong foundations for newly established nonprofit organizations and takes existing nonprofit enterprises to the next level. And that is true, so true. I'm one of her students, I like to say, as well as she's my mentor. She might not know that, but she's my mentor in a lot of the things that I've been following her before I actually became a student. She was very a role model in how to engage our community with a purpose. She's the founder of Jessica Cares, which is an acronym called Journey to Becoming an Extraordinarily Strong, Successful Individual and Courageous Aspirations, known as Jessica Cares. Coupled with her background in business development, staff management, and financial services, makes her uniquely qualified to assist nonprofit managers with setting, achieving, and exceeding their goals. Her approach is vastly different than that of other consultants. She doesn't believe in one-size-fits-all plans. Instead of simply managing strategies and offering suggestions, Asiya helps her clients learn to enjoy the journey as it unfolds. This leads to greater understanding of the entire process and ultimately deeper success in a shorter period of time. And that's very true, because sometimes, you know, you reach out for help and people, they know how to do what they do, so they just offer you what they do, rather than checking in with you and molding it to your needs. So I definitely appreciate that in her, and I'm a witness of that as well. Continue. It's a little extensive, but we're gonna have to break this down like how we did Brother Andre. Yeah, because you know we got some dynamic presenters, so let's break it down. Let's bring her on, and then let her introduce herself, and then we're gonna chop up her resume and her skills and her talents. Because our topic today is talking about how community organizations, nonprofits, are resources for quality of life and community development. So with no further ado, yes, I'd like to bring on our dear sister, Asiya Nasir. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, sis?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing really good. I'm doing very good, actually. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me on the show.
Excellent. Thank you for being on the show. This topic is right up my alley, so like I'm ready to jump in.
Yeah. I love talking about how to upbuild our community. So this is always a topic I love talking about. So let's get it.
So let's jump into it. So like I read a little bit of your bio, but I guess just as you was just teaching us in our last class, actually, right? A little 30-second or, you know, a minute intro of who you are. Yeah, power pitch. So can you give us your power pitch?
Well, as he mentioned, as Imam V mentioned, my name is Asiya Nasir, and I actually run two businesses. One is a for-profit, which is Utopian Enterprise Business Solutions, which is a consulting firm that helps, startup, whether it's, you know, to start up a for-profit business or a nonprofit. But my specialty really is in nonprofit, and just really to help them, get the blueprint of establishing a strong foundation, so that way anything that they do as far as expansion with their company or their organization, that they have a strong foundation to uphold, you know, anything that they're trying to do. And then I have a nonprofit organization called Jessica Cares, and he mentioned what the acronyms were, and it's basically an empowerment platform for females, young girls and women, to assist them in building up their sense of self-worth and self-esteem, and to be able to just feel comfortable in their own skin, to make healthier decisions, which, as we know, the women are the teachers of the home. So if we have strong women in our community, we have strong communities. And obviously we have a strong ummah as well. So that is my mission, is empowering the women and the females in our community.
So do you want to shoot me or you want me to jump in? Because you know I'm ready.
Yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead. You go first.
Okay. Yeah, just jump in. Let's just jump in.
Yeah, no, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready. So I'm interested to know how you got started with both Jessica Cares and with Utopia Enterprises. How did you get started with the both of them?
Well, 10 years ago, actually, Jessica Cares started. I founded it in November of 2010. And how that started is I was, first and foremost, I was a young girl who grew up with very low self-esteem and sense of self-worth. And it took me, it took two catalysts that happened in my life, two, you know, major or pinnacle moments in my life. And one was when I was working in the corporate world and banking. I was a manager. And they had all of the managers participate in a leadership program. And I actually thought the leadership program was going to be about, you know, managing your team and being able to manage successful teams in your individual branches. So that's what that's what I thought we was getting into. But what ended up happening was the leadership program, the instructor, he was a life coach. And it really was about you. You know, self-reflection and what type of person are you are, and based on how you are as an individual and how you see yourself and how you view yourself, that is how you interact with others and that is how you're able to lead better. That was the first time I really had to face a lot of things that I had chosen not to, you know, throughout my life. And that happened like in my 30s. So I went through all of my preteen, teenage year, you know, first marriage. I went through all of that with this, you know, very low self-esteem. I did not make healthy choices. And when I went through that program, it was just like something hit me, and it was like this epiphany. Like if I had had something like this when I was much younger, if I had something that would have, you know, counteracted some of the things that happened to me as a child, could that have made a difference? Could I have seen myself in a better light? And so that was what sparked Jessica Cares, in assisting young girls that may feel like me. And when we first started Jessica Cares, it was all about just the girls, just, you know, preteens and teenagers. You know, because that's the age where you start hitting that self-doubt, insecurities, caring about what everybody thinks, wanting to fit in, not feeling like you're enough. So that was, you know, where we started. And we did that through workshops, through community initiatives, really getting to the root of why the girls was feeling the way that they did as far as, like, not feeling good about themselves. So we went to domestic violence shelters, teen centers. We went to homeless shelters, you know, all of the places that a young girl would struggle, you know, with self-esteem. And we did workshops, empowerment series. We did summer programs, and then we had our annual retreat. And as we continued to do that particular program, just working with the teams, what we started noticing, it was like counterproductive. We would see after a few weeks of them feeling really good about themselves and seemed like progress was making, all of a sudden they would come with this, you know, almost like we're starting over again. And when we were, you know, talking with the girls and asking, like, where is this coming from, what was happening and what we noticed was that the girls were going home to broken mothers, mothers who were struggling with self-esteem. And so we had to, you know, look at our program and say, you know what, we need to work with the mothers. We need to get the mothers on the same page. We need to, you know, to help that young, you know, that little girl that's inside the mom who hasn't healed, who still feels, you know, like her self-esteem is not where it needs to be. And she was passing on those generational curses onto her daughters.
Right.
And so we started working with the mothers and started doing parenting classes, mother-daughter workshops, and then just working with the moms. And it expanded our program to, you know, entrepreneurial classes, job readiness programs, self-esteem. And so now we work with both young girls and mothers. And so that's how Just Get Care started. Yeah, so that's how we started Just Get Care. We started in Jersey. And we've, you know, by Allah's permission, we've been able to expand, like, from New York to Philadelphia to Delaware. And we've been able to travel to Texas, North Carolina, California, just really spreading the word about starting with self, really starting with self. And then when I became a Muslim about 5.5 years ago, that was it for me. It was for the first time in my life I felt like I get it. It was like right. Allah had just opened, like I had blinders on, and I started to see myself not so much in the way the dunya would, you know, portray what a strong woman was, but more of what Allah saw as what a beautiful woman was, inside and out, more so on the inside. And it was a total opposite of everything that I was, you know, in society taught was beautiful. And it was about the inner beauty. It was about her modesty, her chastity, her relationship with Allah. And it was something that I had always wanted, but I felt so distant from God, you know. And right. when I became Muslim, that was, it just took Jessica Care to the next level because it really honed in. And then I was able to expand once again my reach because now we were working with non-Muslims and now Muslims, which I found we had a lot of Muslim girls who were struggling with self-esteem. And so we were able to expand the program with working with both non-Muslims and Muslims. And through working through Jessica Cares and running my program for many years, people would, you know, constantly call me and, you know, how do you start a nonprofit? How do you do this? How do you do that? And I found that I was spending a lot of time consulting. And I'm from New York. I got that hustler spirit. I was like, you know what? I can make this into a. I need to monetize this you know, counseling I'm doing. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start a consulting firm, and I'm going to take all of the skills, all of the mistakes that I've made, all of the lessons that I've learned, all of the coaches that I was able to obtain, and actually say, you know what? Start a program to help, you know, especially men and women of color to be able to, you know, have ownership. And that's huge for me, is ownership. And so I was like, if I can be a part of assisting the Ummah, assisting, you know, people who look like me to be able to have ownership, to leave, you know, inheritances for their children and their children's children, I'm like, that's what I want to be a part of. And when I took Shahada 5.5 years ago, my very first dua, and it was, I remember it was Maghrib. It was right after Maghrib. My very first dua was, Allah, I just want to be used by you. And I didn't know in what capacity Allah was going to use me in. And so right. I transformed Jessica Cares to be able to work with young Muslims, and now I'm doing Utopian Enterprise Business Solutions. And the I would say 98% of my clients are Muslim. So Allah definitely has helped me to be, you know, he has allowed me to be used by him. And I'm just so grateful. I'm just so thankful to Allah that I've been able to be used by him. And almost 4 years ago, I fired my boss, and I've been doing both businesses full-time.
Wow. And it's so interesting that you just mentioned that you fired your boss, because my follow-up question to you was going to be, how did you transition from being employee to entrepreneur, business, you know, employer? How did you make that transition? Because I know a lot of people are always, they have the passion, they have this idea, but it's sort of like, how do I take the leap from where I am to where I want to be?
Yeah. Well, it was a process. You know, as I mentioned, I've been doing Jessica Cares for 10 years. So being that it was only 4 years ago that I quit my job, as you can see, it was not something that happened overnight. So what I did was I always had the intention of becoming my own boss and, you know, running my own company. So what I did was in the interim of work, doing both, you know, Jessica Cares and working for the bank as a manager, what I did was I saved up money. I put money away and continued to put money away until I had about a year and a half worth of income. And so I was like, okay, I have a year, and I was like, and you know, I can kind of live off of this. And in the meantime, get that hustle on and, you know, really utilize the extra time now that I had, that I didn't have to go into a 9-to-5, and use that work to really market myself, to really, you know, do some outreach and let people know that, hey, I'm here, I'm offering these services. And then by Allah's permission, you know, Allah is Ar-Razak, He is our provider, so He allowed, you know, my reach to expand and connected me with the right people. And like I said, now 4 years later, I'm still, you know, doing what I'm doing full time.
Okay, that's great.
So my suggestion would be, don't quit. You know, don't just leave your job because you decide that you want to be an entrepreneur, but be very strategic about that. Look at what your circumstances are. How much would you need to be able to leave your job and still be able to pay your bills for a good period of time, so that way you can utilize that time not focusing on paying bills or making decisions based off of desperation, but more making decisions of, okay, I want to reach out to this place or that place and, you know, market myself in a certain way, so that way I can obtain the reach that I'm trying to get and the connections that I'm trying to obtain. So I would say, you know, just make it a process, be patient, and pray, really.
Okay. Oh, did we lose Bean? Well, while we wait for him to come back,
right?
So, yeah, right. Because I was like, what happened to him? But I just wanted to just talk a little bit about. We'll start with Jessica Cares, right? So, what kind of impact has it had in the community? I guess and where I'm going with that question is more like, tell us a little bit about those success stories, right? Because are always wanting to hear, you know, mm-hmm. what this has meant to the community and to the young women and young girls that you serve. And so give us a little bit about those success stories. And I guess you can do the same thing for the entrepreneurship side too, but we'll start with Jessica Cares.
Right. Well, that's a great question. The success stories that we had, and I'll be honest with you, we don't always get to reach every girl. We don't.
Right.
We don't get to reach everyone. But alhamdulillah, we've had great success with our girls. Like, we've had some of our nonprofits. We have one. She was actually our very first student, and she mm-hmm. was really struggling. I mean, her guidance counselors would call me. And we would have to look for her, you know, because she wasn't coming to class, and then we would have to try to look for her. She was really struggling. She was really going through a hard time, just a lot of family issues and so forth. And now she's a barber. She's running her, you know, she's running her own thing, doing her own mm-hmm. thing. And this was once a child who just was like, I'm not even, you know, wasn't even sure if she was going to graduate. And now she's an entrepreneur, doing her own thing, expanding. We're still in touch. She calls me her second mom. She has the same name as my daughter, Jasmine. And she's just one. I have other girls. They're mothers now. They're mothers. They're successful mothers running, you know, taking care of their children while working or going to college. I've had several of them finish college, that went to historically black colleges. One just got accepted to Spelman. The list goes on. We've had, and for some of our Muslim girls, some of them were not wearing hijab, not covering. And mm-hmm. by Allah's permission, after going through the Jessica Cares programs and several series and so forth, they are now covering. They are now practicing, you know, their deen. So, you know, those are just a number of successes that we've had. And feeling confident, you know, just feeling comfortable in their own skin and being unapologetic. You know, not only am I a woman of color, but yes, I am a Muslim woman, and I'm not apologetic about that. You know, we've really been
so
able
important.
To help a lot of our girls. It is. It is.
That's
it
so
is
important.
So important.
And I don't know, people always understand that, you know, especially if you're not a girl or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys
right.
may not necessarily get it, but.
We get it.
Okay. We thought we lost you.
You know,
because talk about you for a second.
Yeah, you good.
Because as I mentioned before, you know, at that preteen stage and that teenage stage, you know, it is a natural feeling to want to be accepted, to want to be a light. That's a very natural thing at that age. And, you know, teaching especially our young Muslim girls that there's an honor and there's a privilege in wearing the hijab, wearing the khimar. That is like, you know, an honor that Allah gives you. And so one of the things that we teach our girls that is always like an aha moment or always like an epiphany for our girls is that, you know, and I was just sharing this, you know, Allah could have chosen any one of his creation to represent this deen. Meaning, we look at the men. You know, and a lot of people will say there's certain features or characteristics about Muslim men, one of them being that, you know, Muslim men have beards. Well, now you know, like, you know, even non-Muslim men, they, you know, they have this hashtag beard gang and all of this stuff. Like, a lot of men have beards now. So you really can't tell necessarily that, is that a Muslim or is that not a Muslim? You look at, you know, Allah could have, you know, chosen the animals or the angels or any of his other creation to represent Islam. When you look at women who are Christian, Jehovah Witness, Baptist, or whatever, you don't know that they're what their religion is when they walk out. But every single time a woman takes the privilege and the honor of putting the hijab on, when she walks out into the world, everyone knows that she represents the religion of Islam. And I always tell our girls, when your teacher chooses someone to be a leader in the class or to be an assistant in the class, when your parent leaves a certain child responsible for the other siblings, it's because they feel like you have the responsibility and that you understand the weight of what you're doing and that you would honor that responsibility. And I'm like, it's no different than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose the women of this ummah to say, I'm holding you responsible that every time you walk out, you wear something that identifies this religion. So what you do and what you say will be a representation of what he calls this perfect religion. And I'm like, if that is not an honor, if that doesn't make you feel like, whoa, Allah chose us to do that, then you wear that with pride. You wear that unapologetically. You wear that with confidence, you know. And you can see, like, the light bulb in their faces, like, yeah, Allah chose us, you know. So it's always, it's just a beautiful moment when you start seeing the young girls who at first were feeling, like, ashamed of wearing their hijab. And now they're feeling like, no, I don't mind being different. Because what I'm different for is Allah is choosing me. Allah chose me to do this. You know, whether born, convert, or whatever, Allah chose you to do this, to represent, you know, Islam. And that is an honor and a privilege. And so that's one of the things that the success stories that I love when I see our young girls, you know, wearing their hijab proudly. And, you know, with Utopian Enterprise, we've had so many sisters and brothers, because Iman Dean is in one of our classes, you know, to see the ummah taking ownership of, you know, their legacy, you know, their deeds, what they're doing in this life, you know, through, you know, work. Some of them are starting, a lot of them start up nonprofits, a lot of them start up businesses in some way, shape, or form. It's an, you know, including the community in some way. And it's so beautiful to be able to see that they go from just initial thoughts and it's all kind of all over the place and they don't know where to start necessarily, and to see them go step by step and then seeing them promoting and putting on programs and getting their 501c3 and, you know, out there doing it, becoming authors and writing, because I teach a class to become a self, you know, to self-publish. And to see my students, you know, publishing books that is going to help other people, there's no better job. It really is. And then all of my money is halal money that I'm making. It's like, subhanAllah, there's just like no, I would not want to do anything other than what I'm doing.
Excellent. That's right on. We're going to do a station identification. This is New Freedom Exchange on station IWDM with your co-host, Brother Dean, and
Sister Marsha,
and we're blessed with our special guest, Sister Asiya Nasir from Jessica Cares and Utopia Business Solutions. We do have a caller on. I think this is our pioneer we wanted to add a segment called the PowerPoint from the Pioneer. I think he's going to present a 2-minute presentation quickly. We're going to take that little break, and we'll be right back with our special guest this evening. Let's check on him. Are you there, Brother Salahuddin?
Yes, I am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I just wanted, I just wanted to make a quick statement on what you sisters were saying. You know, none of you are girls. You're young ladies. That's a status within itself. I don't want to go into it too deep, but, you know, the young ladies are just mothers that have not bear children yet. That opens the door to a great discussion. But what I want to touch bases on is what we're caught off in now. They had a doctor way back in the 30s. His name was Pavlov. He took a dog and he fed this dog and he rang a bell. And when he fed the dog, it salivated during the time that during the time it was being fed. And so he did this constantly, and then only he had to ring the bell and the dog would salivate and he wouldn't even be getting food.
Right.
I was speaking on this to bring about the point of behavior. This coronavirus is a real entity, but they have taken it to a behavioral concept, which to me, it's misleading a lot of our people, a lot of people in general, period. Misinformation. The coronavirus is a real entity, but it's not something that you have to be afraid of. There's only one fear in my life, should only be one fear in any Muslim's life, and that's the fear of Allah. Because if he intends on you experiencing this, there's nothing, no mask, no wall, no entity, period, can separate you from getting the coronavirus. But you must tie your camel, wash your hands, do the necessary things. But you've been doing them all along. You've been washing 5 times a day. You stay in prayer as much as you possibly can. And I think they're trying to get their environment up. A lady on the bus the other day, she told me, she said, well, it's going to be Mother's Day again. I say, in Islam, every day is Mother's Day. You know, Muslims respect and I don't know the words you really use, but, you know, it's Mother's Day every day, not one day a year. Let's see. So that's basically the point that I wanted to touch on.
Yes,
sir. The point that you were making here with the young ladies were saying about girls and young ladies accomplishing things. All they have to do is stay conscious, stay focused, and they will and have an aim in their life. And they will accomplish anything that they want to. Same thing with the young men. Okay, my brother.
Yes, sir. Did you have a question?
Huh?
Did you have a question? Did you have a question for our guests as well, or you're fine with your statement?
No. I'm fine with my statement. It's just I want them to know that I respect you as an individual. I call this young man my mujahid. You know, he He's a very astounding old man because he brings out the best in all of us. And those are some of the qualities that we have to be able to bring out in all our people. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah. And this is Salahuddin of the 21st century. I never identified.
That's right.
Myself.
I was waiting for you to say that in the beginning, and I said, wait a minute. He done changed his introduction?
No. I don't change. I try not to change anything. But I was kind of tied up into trying to elaborate on what you had said about the young ladies. And mm-hmm. it was very important to me to say that we have to elevate our young women, our young ladies, mm-hmm. up from being girls. They're not just girls. That's like calling your children kids. Hey, your kids are over there. Kids are goats. They eat anything, do anything. They're children. And as they get a little bit older, they become young adults. And once you put them on that pedestal, you have given them more and more responsibility. This is what's important in our environment. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for our pioneer who's sticking with us. His mother actually was one of the ones who I'll go down a whole other road with that. But rest in peace to her mother. His mother, Sister Salima Umar, she's a pioneer in our community. She was one of the, she has so much involvement with cultural expression. And one of her main things was Islamizing our culture. And similar to what Sister Asiya is sharing and the things that Sister Marcia does in her community, you will bring so much joy to her. To her light and to her life, because she was a pioneer in struggling how to wear the kimar, the headpiece, early on, and when there was not a lot of Muslims in the society. And she was a professional artist actually before she became Muslim, and she sacrificed her artistry and that professionalism and that Hollywood, but she brought it all to al-Islam. And she's very anchor in our community in Philadelphia, as well as in California. That's where she's actually from, California. So we thank our dear brother, Brother Salahuddin, who is continuing the legacy of his mother. But we are blessed to have Asiya Nasir, who's the CEO of the Utopia Enterprise Business Solution. You can check her out on her website at utopiaenterprisebiz.com. for all of her business solutions, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, whether it's coaching, business ideas, even community fundraising ideas, and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful to have her on here with us tonight. If there's any other questions or comments from callers, you're welcome to join the discussion. All you have to do is press 1 if you're dialed in. If you're on the internet side, you have to dial in. You have to call 714-816-4673. So if you listen to us on the internet, you have to call in at 714-816-4673. But if you're here with us already dialed in, all you have to do is press 1 and we'll pull you in the queue. Seeing there's no questions, we continue our dialogue. One thing I wanted to mention real quick, as you brought out early on in your opening remarks, you talked about ownership and self-esteem. And that's something to me that actually they go hand in hand, right? So if you lack in the sense of ownership, you lack in self-esteem and vice versa. So can you share a little more about that?
Well, if you look at our community, which, I'm very clear on who my target audience is and who I deal with, and that is people of color, African-American, Latinos, Latinas. That is my target audience. And if you find in our communities, most of us do not own much of anything. We're consumers. We're constant consumers. And when you have a society that doesn't own anything, where's the empowerment? Where's the economic development? Where is the passing on, that type of education? We don't have a lot of that in our community. And if you don't have it, you can't give what you don't have. You can't educate your children to be a certain way when you have not been taught yourself and you don't have those things. So we have to change the narrative. I mean, if you look at, you know, they say, you know, people of color are poor people, or we're a poor community. And I'm like, that could be, that is the furthest from the truth. Because if that was the case, merchants and immigrants who come to this country would not put their stores in our community. They know we buy. We know there's money in our community. The problem with our community is that we don't take that money and bring it back to us and empower us. And so one of the things that I – one of the classes that I teach or in everything that I teach is always with the intention of ownership, whether that's if you're writing a book, if you're running a company, you know, have ownership in that. Have ownership so that way there's a stake in what it is that you're putting into it, what you're getting out, and what is the benefit and the impact that it's going to have on the community that you're serving. We don't have enough of that, and we need to change the narrative. We have to change the narrative, and we have to start, you know, not in our 50s and 60s when some of our parents was like, okay, I'm going to own something, or grandparents, or, like, we have to start this now, teaching our children that while college is great and college is a good thing to have in a lot of professions, like being a doctor and a lawyer, those are required. You have to go to college for those type of professions. But if you look at the millennials growing up, now they're not interested in college like that. So we have to give them a narrative, and we have to give them the understanding of what economic development is, what is economic empowerment, what is ownership, what do you do with that ownership, and what is it to really run a company. And it's sad to say that in our community, many of us have negative experiences with supporting black businesses. You know, either the customer service wasn't what it should be, the product wasn't what it was supposed to be. So my class is teaching from the ground up that you get your store in order, you get your customer service in order, you get your staff in order, your volunteers in order, you get your executive team in order, because you create a culture in your business so that way it transcends to your customers, and that way it's not a, you know, support me because I'm black. Oh, no, support me because I give you something worth supporting. And it just so happens the cherry on top is I'm black. That should be the narrative. And if we continue to keep doing that, if we continue to promote that, if we continue to be the way showers to the generation coming up, it's just automatic that we're going to want to own things in our community, whether it's property or anything else. We will have ownership. And if we were to continue to do that, we'd be a force to reckon with, really.
Right. And I think it's so important to have businesses like yours that teach the practical skill set of entrepreneurship and running a nonprofit. Because I think about me, you know, my bachelor's degree is in business management. My master's degree is in nonprofit management. It's a public administration degree. And those types of things are not really taught in the classroom. It, you know, they teach you the theory and the principles and the concept of nonprofit management, but the practicality of it, you know, in a lot of professions other than what you're mentioning in terms of being a lawyer or a doctor, a lot of those fields give you the theory, not necessarily how to put it into practice. Yeah.
Right, to implement it. And what it, you know, the building blocks. I mean, you know, for a lot of my clients are women. And so a lot of times you'll see women will be running business from their homes, but there's nothing wrong with that. You can have a home-based business. But what I tell my clients is make your business official. There are benefits. There's money that you are leaving on the table. Leave no stone unturned. If you are going to call yourself an entrepreneur, your entrepreneurship is always looking for the next opportunity. Always. That never stops as an entrepreneur. So if I'm an entrepreneur, let me get my documents, let me get my foundation in order so that way, if I am a nonprofit, I have my 501c3. I can apply for those grants. I can ask for corporate sponsorship. I can ask for charitable foundation money because I have all of my ducks in a row and my house is in order. If I'm a for-profit business and I just so happen to be black and I'm a woman or I'm you know, Latina, now I can sit up here and I can apply as a for-profit business. I can apply to be recognized as certified a minority woman-owned business.
that brings on certain contracts that only if I'm certified, I can go after those contracts. Put yourself in a position to be able to get that money. Everybody talks about getting the bag. Put yourself in a position to get that bag. And my, you Absolutely. Know, my job is to teach the steps. Hello?
We're here.
Yes, we're here.
Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, so yeah. My job is to teach the steps to put yourself in that position to be able to be certified, to be able to, you know, be official and recognized by the government as a 501c3. So whether for-profit or non-profit, there are opportunities, but you have to do your due diligence. You have to do the work to put yourself out there to say, I am credible, I'm about my business, and I am worthy of these opportunities. So that's really what, you know, what I try to teach. And that in and of itself is empowering, because as you teach this and women start implementing this, or men start implementing, you know, these skill sets in being an entrepreneur, it empowers them. It makes them feel like I'm doing the work and I'm reaping the benefits by Allah's permission. I'm reaping the benefits from my work. So that in and of itself is so empowering.
Absolutely. One thing, you don't just teach, you actually, you model that. And that's what I really appreciate it, especially how you, in class, you said, you know, ain't no CP time around here. Like, you keep things, you
right.
know, professional and 100.
Right. You know, if I say we start at 10 o'clock, that's the time we're starting, you know, and that's to teach people that you're setting up. That's part of your brand. That's the brand experience. You know, branding is not just the logo and not just the exterior part, but how do you run your business, the experience and what your clients and your customers can expect when they interact with your business. You know, is it a positive one or is it a negative one? And that's part of your brand. And so, you know, teaching, you know, us to change that narrative, you know, it's not about CP time, and that's not cute, not in business. It's not.
Right.
It's not cute.
Right.
We need to run our business the same way we see other successful people run their business, and that's why they're successful. You know, so we don't have to recreate the wheel, but we do have to reprogram our communities to start doing things the right way in order for us to reap the right benefits, you know. And, you know, that's like I said, that is empowering, because when you start seeing the transition, and people are starting to see how they're being received by clients, and they're seeing how they're being received by their customers, and they're seeing how they're being perceived by people on social media, like, wow, you are a credible business. I'm now referring to you. They see that when you do the work, although it's a sacrifice of time and things like that, it does have its benefits. And as I always, as a Muslim, you know, Allah teaches us that in everything that we do, from salat to zakat to hajj to umrah to any other, you know, act of worship, parenting and being spouses, in anything that we do, Allah tells us to do it in excellence. This, you know, our religion doesn't teach us to be mediocre or to be very nonchalant or, you know, like a we wing it kind of thing. We do everything with intention. Everything starts with intention. So if you start with intention to do something, then you do the work in excellence, and that is what you will get back by Allah's permission. Because if you're asking Allah to place barakah, to place blessings in what you're doing, then you have to do your work in order for Allah to place those blessings. You know, and that is empowering, to be able
right.
to see your dua and the direct connection to the work that you're doing and what Allah is blessing you with. That's iman. When you know, it strengthens your iman. All of that, it's full circle. It's full circle. None is separate from the other. It all is all interconnected, and it's a very empowering feeling.
So how do you get someone that hasn't yet got that impulse to respond to that or tapped into that knowledge or that energy?
Well, I would encourage, if you're not sure about what you're doing, but your intention is that you want to start something or you want to do something, it is good to get a coach. You know, get someone like myself who's a startup or a nonprofit strategist to be able to help you. Or even if you're an existing entrepreneur and you find you're at that crossroad where you're like, look, I've kind of hit a roadblock, don't really know what direction I want to go, sit down with someone who's like-minded to be able to assist you and say, okay, where is it that you're wanting to go? I see what you've done thus far. Here's how we can turn this around. You know, sometimes you just need that other mindset to be able to help direct you and be able to give you the tools that you need. And it's just a matter of redirecting, or for a startup, for directing them to just, you know, go the right way and not have to spend money, unnecessary money, make the mistake, and then learn the hard way. You don't have to always learn everything the hard way. You know, getting a coach like myself is a great way for someone to be able to say, if I have that itch to do this, let me do it the right way. Let me start off with on the right foot.
Excellent, excellent. So we're winding down on the hour. We're coming to the end of the show. Can you give us some more contact information or some other projects you're working on? We know you also are an author. You have the book called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who Am I After All? So how can people get that? Mm-hmm. And give us some more information about your products.
Okay, so with Jessica Cares, what I have coming up right now, I have a everything is virtual now. I used to do workshops outside so people could come, but I'm doing everything virtual now, which is great. So that means from any state or from anywhere, you can actually tune in. So I will be announcing actually tomorrow. I have another webinar coming up called Toxic Positivity. And that is a concept that it's kind of camouflaging the toxicity that's happening within. And how do you do that? And it's more common than we think. So that's going to be the next webinar. So that's coming up. We're going to be doing our doing a virtual annual retreat. And you can obtain the Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who Am I After All, written by me through Amazon. You can go right onto Amazon. You can either type in Asiya Nasir and my book will come up. And you can purchase it in ebook or paperback. And it's a great tool that if you're not able to come to a virtual class or to come to a workshop, the book is a 10-chapter book that in each chapter it has a worksheet, something for you to do to really do the work. Because it's one thing to read it and say, wow, that was great, but it's about the transformation. It's about the implementation. So each chapter has a worksheet or something, an exercise for you to do to really dig deep, to uncover the things that is not always so easy to talk about. So that's where you can find the book. You can find me and any upcoming events that are coming up under Facebook. You can go to our page, which is Jessica Cares. And the Jessica is in acronyms. And you can find us on Instagram under Jessica Cares 1, the number 1, Jessica Cares 1. As far as Utopian Enterprise, I have a webinar coming. Oh, and on Jessica Cares, forgot to tell you, if you are an existing author, we are hosting a class on August 1st and on August 29th. One, to put your book into audio form, because a lot of people don't read anymore, but people will pop in something and be able to listen right through their headphones or in their car. So how can someone be able to transform their book from paperback to audio, and how to translate your book into another language? That's on August 29th. So those are the upcoming classes that we're doing with Jessica Cares. And with Utopian Enterprise, we currently have the Entrepreneurial Masterclass that is currently going on. We're in week 6 currently right now. This Sunday will be week 6. And then after that, we have our next round of Entrepreneurial Masterclass. And then I have my monthly webinars that I post, that I facilitate. And the next one is how to create the consummate board of directors. Because as a nonprofit organization, one of the greatest challenges for a nonprofit is to have an effective and an efficient board of directors. Yes. So that is the next one, and that is the last Tuesday of July, where we're going to be facilitating that via Zoom. And if you go on our page on Instagram, Utopian Enterprise, you can click the link right on the bio and you can register for the class. If you are a member of our mastermind group, if you're a tier 3 or above, you actually get a discount on that. So we actually have a mastermind group too that is an ongoing group of like-minded entrepreneurs where we encourage one another, we challenge each other. And that's at 9 o'clock on Sunday. So I am taking applications. It is a selected group, but I would love to grow the group. So if you're interested, if you're an entrepreneur and would like to be a part of that group, it's a great group. We have some really great conversations, and we're able to overcome a lot of hurdles that some of the entrepreneurs have. So that's what's going on with Utopian Enterprise. And at the end of the year, we're going to be putting on a virtual entrepreneurial summit or symposium. So that's going to have some really great speakers and, you know, just some really great counsel. So that's going to be at the end of the year, inshallah. So that's what's going on with us. So we're pretty busy.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And anybody who knows me, if you ask anyone who knows me, they will be like, when does this girl sleep? But I sleep. Right. I do get sleep. But I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I really am. On a mission. There's a lot of things I want to get done by Allah's permission, and we never know when Allah's going to call us, so I try to use the time that Allah gives us to, or gives me, to get the work done, and inshallah, let it speak for me on the day of judgment. So,
I love that.
We thank you for joining us this evening. Marsha, you have any more closing questions or remarks?
Yes, always, I do. I just want to say, Sister Asia, your energy is infectious. This is what we need in our community. And I am, like, so excited to, you know, meet you, you know, face-to-face and hopefully be a part of some of the things that you're doing because, I have this passion for our community. I see us just, like, growing and fulfilling our potential, and this is absolutely a piece of the puzzle that will allow us to get there. So thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Everyone, whatever you know, if you have an idea, if it's even just an inkling of an idea, hook up with the sister and allow her to help you to bring it to fruition.
Yes, inshallah. So I'm here to help the community and to give you the, you know, inshallah, give you the blueprint to get you where you want to go from point A to point Z, as I say.
Excellent. No excuses, no more excuses.
That's right. All right. No excuses. We don't have none.
Absolutely. We thank you again. I think our brother Salahuddin from 21st Century, he wants to close us out. What else you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to tell the sister, she's profound. But you got to
remember. I lost permission.
Yes, ma'am. You have to remember that we're in a war of words, and you have to be able to convey yourself in a way that all people, can understand. If you talk above their head, they're not really going to relate to totally what you want to get across to. This war of words is much deeper than you can really just say very quickly. But it's very real. It's captive. Okay. That's all. And I'm going to investigate your program because I might be one of your students.
I would love to have you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I can learn.
Thank you. Absolutely. You learn and you teach. Thank you. Oh, her motto is, first you learn, then remove the L. Check her out. Sister Asia.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us, all of our listening audience. For those who will listen now and listen in the future, you can check us out. Again, we are New Freedom Exchange. This is Station IWDM on Mondays at 7 p.m. We're also getting prepared for a 7-day roundup, lineup, celebrating 90 years of this new Muslim community in North America. So from July 1st to July 7th, we're going to be giving historical recollections from documentaries we have done, as well as live pioneers are going to check in and share with us their present state and investment into the future, their insights. And so we welcome you all to join us. We also have I was a classmate of hers in Asia's author class, Monica Grant. She's going to bless us on Friday.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to her presentation. So it's going to be a power pack week this week from July 1st to July 7th. So tune in. We'll be on Facebook Live at New Freedom Exchange. We again thank our dear sister, Asia Nasir, for taking her time out, her busy schedule, to join us for a whole hour. We really appreciate you. And always, my dear sister Marsha, thank you. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa barakatuh.
They tryna turn Trenton into Baby Flint. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us. I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to City Hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people, I bang, bang, bang.
My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go. They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a way down a rape, bruh. Isn't our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected.
No,
my ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
I go.